Hey everybody, welcome to our second episode of Filmception. I'm here with Yvette Angelo.
Hey.
And Adrian Brown.
Hello.
And I'm recording from our Ford Focus. And today's episode, we're going to review the nail-biting thriller Prisoners, as well as give our top five list for the movies that we've seen so far this year. But first, let's get into our review of Prisoners.
That boy has never been in trouble, not a day in his life.
Well, this thing's clean. I'd start looking in the woods by the rest stop.
The police said they're letting him go today.
What are you doing? Tell me! Oh, no, no, no! Day six, and every day she's wondering why I'm not there.
You told us that you could protect us from everything.
Why did you look for my daughter?
Prisoners is a story of two families that are brought together on Thanksgiving, and something happens. The daughters of these two families go missing. The movie is about the search for these missing children by the detective, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, and a desperate father, played by Hugh Jackman. Yvette, this was your highly anticipated movie. This is number one movie you were looking forward to seeing this year. So that being said, were you satisfied? I know it's impossible to live up to your number one most anticipated movie, but were you satisfied with the movie that you got from it?
I would say for the genre of movie that it is, it was satisfying for me. It was, it's one of my favorite genre movies, these like kind of thrillers or like mystery type of movies. So I think it did. I think it served its purpose.
Cool. And how did you feel about the performances from this movie?
You know, there was some performances that I loved and then others that were not as convincing that I kind of just...
Well, let's start with one you love. Let's start with that.
Well, I like Hugh Jackman.
Okay. Interesting.
Obvious.
I have a different take on that, actually.
I mean, I'm a fan of his. I don't know. I also liked Paul Dano.
Okay.
I also liked... Detective Loki.
So you're naming all the main characters.
Basically.
Adrian.
The only person that I was like, a couple people, just like, you know, other than them three, everybody else is kind of like, actually, no, I like the couple too, the other couple.
Okay. Adrian, for the most part, did you enjoy the movie?
I did. I was actually surprised by it. I wasn't really expecting the sort of movie going into it.
Okay.
But I came out really, really liking it, even with that little ending. Little
really?
Yeah.
You liked the ending. Okay. Well, without giving too much away, I'm going to say the performances all around are really good. Mm-hmm. I like Jake Gyllenhaal as detective. I think he was very serviceable. I think he did his job. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and say that Hugh Jackman, though, I think he did a great job. He's always intense, but I kind of wish there was a little bit more levels he can play. Because right from the gate, it seems like he's just like
Wolverine.
A bull.
Yeah.
You know, he's Wolverine.
Time, yeah.
He's angry from the beginning. And for me, if I had to go, I mean, I kind of wish there was a little bit... just a little bit more of a build to that desperation, you know? But he was desperate, willing to do anything from the get-go. And I would, you know, kind of wish it was a build.
Yeah.
Paul Dano, I think, usually sometimes in movies, I think he goes a little too much. Mm-hmm. He always wants to be the center of... but I think there was just the amount of the right weird for this role for me.
And he tends to gravitate towards those roles.
Which he does.
If you notice, but like this one... It's a pretty different contrast from what he's played before in the past.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think he did a really good job with it. I was actually much more... I wasn't expecting that much from that character in him, really. And so I was really impressed.
Yeah, and I actually found myself sympathizing with him, too. Because, you know, did he do it? Did he not do it? It definitely looks like, you know, it's leaning towards, you know, negative. And I actually felt pretty bad for him.
It's interesting because with this movie... it's hard to be really one-sided. It's like, yeah, you feel sorry for him. At the same time, you're like, no, like, I was always, you know, like, I was always teetering between whether I was on, you know, Hugh Jackman's side or Paul Dano's. Like, I didn't really know who to feel sorry for, who to feel more sorry for. It's just, it's an interesting kind of feeling.
Cool. Adrian, do you have anything you want to say about the movie? Something you liked or something you had an issue with?
I don't know if I had an issue with, but I think it was very kind of beaten down a lot where it was like the religious symbolism throughout the entire movie. Sort of just contrasting that with the motivations and the personality of the characters, where they're just not that nice people or the people that are intending to do good stuff, they aren't these sort of archetype Christian characters.
Right, right. I think it kind of played with that, and it hammered that.
Yeah.
I think it wouldn't be giving anything away to say that these daughters go missing, and there's a prime suspect in this case who's played by Paul Dano, and without enough evidence, they release him. But Hugh Jackman, I think they show this in the trailer. Hugh Jackman basically holds him captive.
He holds his own kind of justice.
Right, his old time justice, and I don't know if it glorifies that. I actually think it asks kind of similar provocative questions that like Zero Dark Thirty did last year, kind of with this torturing, and it could get you answers, but is it right? You know. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I would say that of course I don't. I think you can just look at the running time. I think before seeing the movie, I can go, is this movie going to be a little too long? And I did feel a little lengthy.
Long. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was probably one of my only issues, is that it was a little bit long. And the storyline, I feel like there was, it got a little bit intricate at some points. And I think because of the length and the little bit, how it was complicated, it did get a little bit tiring after a while. But, I think my favorite part about it was, like all these moments that were so suspenseful that, my heart was like literally beating. So there was moments where like I was not thinking about anything else except for what was going on screen, So it wasn't like the whole time I was thinking like this is too long. It was just,
Adrian, sometimes. Mm-hmm. You cannot deny some of the suspense in this movie.
Yeah, I mean the hammer scene.
The hammer scene is fantastic.
I'll just say that, the hammer scene. That put me on edge.
And I think if you saw Hugh Jackman as a character who, built to that, how insane that scene would have been.
Right. Yeah.
But that scene is, he's so good at those intense scenes.
Even watching as we didn't see that performance in the movie, in my head I'm thinking, that's the little tap dancer from Man from Oz. That's a song and dance man right there.
I love
there.
That he can do it all.
And he can do that, and he can beat someone and torture someone. It's interesting to see from an actor.
Cool. I want to talk about Viola Davis for a second too, because at first I was wondering who is the other couple. I was wondering why they were wasting probably one of our best actresses that we have working today, until she has that one scene. And I don't know if you guys were affected by that scene. I thought she nailed that scene.
Yeah.
That one little moment she had. She comes in there and she really delivered that scene. I think it spoke a lot of truth in what she did, and that's the kind of sensitivity hope some of the other
characters honestly. I feel like she was probably one of the you or only in the entire movie where you actually really do believe that like sadness.
Yes.
I had a problem with Maria Bello because I was not believing her sadness. I was not believing her like desperation.
I didn't find myself caring about her too much.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like,
a little too frantic.
And she was placing blame on her husband. And
I could see where that could come in, but I just... it didn't feel right in the movie.
Right.
But in a real life circumstance, it's a possibility that could happen.
Yeah, for some reason, I just was not believing it. I was not. But like I said, that one scene we were talking about, that was like definitely like heart wrenching. Mm-hmm.
Just when I thought they were going to, they're wasting her all throughout the movie, she comes in and then she just.
She does that with all her movies. She's famous. She's like this little character, and you're just like, oh my God, you get those feelings.
Yeah,
those
exactly. Feelings at the end. And. The plot is so, I was really intrigued by it. I was following along. I was trying to understand it all, and I was wondering what was going to happen. And when it all kind of, without giving anything away, when it all was laid out there and we figured it out, I still had questions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was still left with questions, and it wasn't as nice and tidy, and I guess most of these movies usually aren't, but maybe it wasn't as, like, clear cut and eureka type of moment as I like it to be usually in these movies.
Yeah, I think for me, for the most part, every time there was one of those moments, I had already kind of figured it out. Like 5 or 10 minutes before they make the discovery on the film. So that was one thing where it was like, oh, that's kind of a downside. I didn't get like any huge surprises, but like I said, it's one of my favorite genres. So I really do enjoy the like twisty stories that you have to think about and talk about afterwards. So.
And Adrian mentioned the ending, how he liked it. I mean, I enjoyed those types of endings as well. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give anything away, but maybe this ending might not be satisfying for some viewers. It might leave some viewers feeling
It's
abrupt, mm-hmm. and it might feel some viewers feel a little, I don't want to say cheated, but they want to know what's going to happen.
Right.
So with that being said, I have to say that it's worth seeing. It's a I think it's a pretty solid thriller for the most part.
It really is.
And I think the performances, there's enough in there. And I would say go ahead and see it. And yeah. What do you guys think? That's the same thing?
Yeah. Yeah. For me, it's not one of those movies that I would see in the theater. I would probably wait for a rental.
Okay.
But, I mean, if you have the time, I would go see it in theaters. Yeah, it was a fun time.
Pretty solid thriller.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say definitely go see it in theaters, from my opinion, just because it's like those suspenseful moments are like insane for me.
Well, fantastic. Well, that is our thoughts on Prisoners. If you have anything you want to add, please give us an email at Filmception Podcast. Filmceptionpodcast@yahoo.com. Please tell us what you think. We'd love to hear about it. And coming up next, we're going to give our top five list of the movies this year. Did I say that right?
So far.
So far this year. Our top five movies of the year so far this year.
Yes.
All right, coming up
of
right
the
up,
year.
Of the year. This top year. Five movies of the movie. Adrian, you say it.
Top five movies so far this year.
Coming up right after this. Guys, welcome back. We're here in the Ford Focus, and now it's the moment you've all been waiting for, our picks for the top five films of the year so far. So without further ado, I think we're going to start with Adrian. And by the way, this was difficult for you or not at all?
Kind of. The only sort of hard part for me is my number one pick is a non-theatrical release.
Okay.
So technically, I'll do a top six, and then I'll throw in that number one, just so you guys know. But it's from 2 to 6 is what I'll be ranking today.
Was this challenge for you, Yvette?
Not really.
Okay. All right. I had a challenge with my number five. It could have been number five, could have been changed. But Adrian, let's just go ahead and start with your number five. Let's
My number five film so far has been The Sapphires.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't actually see that.
Chris O'Dowd, I think he's great. And just seeing this movie just stem from Australia and essentially it being a foreign film, and it's just a limited release. I bought it on Blu-ray, and I had to look everywhere for it because it wasn't everywhere when it was first released on Blu-ray. So I enjoyed it. Good talent all around.
Wow. I mean, it's supposed to be a little charming film, right?
Yeah.
I don't know why I missed it, but it just never made it for me to just go out and see it. But I'll have to check it out. Please do. All right, Yvette, let's hear your number five.
Okay, my number five is Stoker.
Okay.
Oh. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. It was weird, and it rubbed me in all the wrong ways, but I kind of liked it.
But at the right ways at the same time.
Yeah. Mm. So it was like, I don't know. It for some reason, it reminded me of like this kind of like Japanese anime for some reason at some points of it. I just really liked it. I thought it was really interesting. I thought it was really unique. I think it's worth a watch. I like the creepiness of it.
I didn't get around to seeing it, but did it have like a Hitchcock sort of feel to it?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. It's from actually an Asian filmmaker. I was try to guess what country, but I don't want anybody to try to, you know, get mad and correct me. But it was from somewhere in Asia. all right. My number five pick, I gave it some thought. I just changed it about an hour ago, and I'm going with Blue Jasmine, Woody Allen's film. And I was going to go with last week's pick. I was going to go with, I'm sorry, Short Term 12.
Okay.
But I'm going with Blue Jasmine. Just Cate Blanchett's performance is solid, and also Woody Allen. I'm a huge Woody Allen fan, so just seeing a Woody Allen film is kind of a nostalgic pick to me. It's just going back in time to where movies were different. So that's why I went with Blue Jasmine, and Cate Blanchett is amazing in it, and it's also got a couple of nice other performances. And Andrew Dice Clay is actually a really good actor.
Huh.
Believe it or not. Trust me.
I will take your word for it. And I'll watch it.
All right. Adrian, what's your number four?
Number four, Blackfish.
Really?
The documentary, yeah. I saw it with a friend. We were doing some, we were filming for another project of hers, And we're just like, hey, let's go catch this movie. And we knew a little bit about it coming into it.
Mm-hmm.
But watching it, we after the end, we were just like, we hate ourselves. We hate humanity. Why are we doing this?
Why do we do this?
But I mean, I understand that it's from one viewpoint. It may seem a little biased, but I mean, it's a really powerful film. There was actually a guy that walked out of the theater because he just couldn't handle the content that was going on in there.
Well, me and Vet actually went to go see the movie. There was a lady bawling outside, bawling, and we didn't know. We thought her dog was murdered, and it turned out she had just watched the Blackfish movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I was more taken by The Cove personally.
Okay.
But I found it very suspenseful what was going on in the movie, and it definitely effective.
It's an eye opener.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yvette, what's it, number four now?
Number four, I went with Beyond the Pines because I don't know.
A Place Beyond the Pines.
Oh, yeah, A Place Beyond the Pines, sorry. I was mesmerized with Ryan Gosling, basically. That first part of the
Typical
movie was
girl.
Just like, the
Typical.
First part of the movie was just like, seriously, though, I really do look up to him, like, as an actor, not just because he's, like, gorgeous, but, you know, like, he really did a great job in that, and he just... In that movie, I realized, like, what stage presence really, like, means. And he, not stage presence, but, like, you know, screen presence. Mm-hmm. You know, and he really does have it. And I enjoyed the movie. It was long, and I felt like it felt kind of like three little movies in one. But I liked it. It worked for me.
Great pick. My number four film. I feel like my top list can sometimes get a little pretentious. So I try to make sure that I'm going to choose...
A blockbuster?
Something that's a little bit more, a blockbuster. Something that's a little bit more lighter. And I'm going with This Is the End. Because, I never laughed harder, obviously, this whole year. It's going to be probably the funniest movie this year. And I actually went a few times in theaters. And I just want to go and point out that this is, who's the character he works with? It's Seth Rogen and what's the other guy's name?
Jay Baruchel?
No, the other writer, Evan Goldberg.
Yeah.
This is their first film that they've directed.
Mm-hmm.
And for a reputation of a couple stoners... This movie was extremely driven, and it was fast, and it was furious, and it was funny, and there was never a moment of dullness, you know, or meandering.
Yeah.
You know, it just was so driven, and a great action flick, too, actually.
But. Yeah, it's one of my top comedies this year.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool. So, Yvette, Adrian, I'm sorry, skipping Adrian. Yeah. What is your number three?
Number three is Pacific Rim. Pacific Rim, yes. That was my Japanese take on it. We could edit that. We could edit that. We don't need to keep that in there. But I mean, just being able to see something that's not a sequel, but still have that sort of blockbuster feel. And I just enjoyed everyone's performance in it. And Guillermo del Toro was just awesome all around.
No comment. No comment on that. No,
I think you should comment on it.
You know, for me, it was like, okay, that's like a total boy thing for me. It just felt kind of like a boy movie, you know, like it's super action-y, just jam-packed action. Don't even know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, like, to me, it was like, that's a typical boy movie, like a movie that my brothers, like, love, you know. But maybe it's just my girly side saying
those
that.
Those first 10 minutes, I was just like, I couldn't exhale. I was just like, this is amazing.
Well, maybe it's my girlish shy too. It's coming out because I also get when it's a boy movie or action movies are the toughest stuff for me. Whenever it's too much action, I just get exhausted, and I felt that a little bit in here. I just got a little tired. I don't know.
They canceled the apocalypse.
And also, I don't know. I mean, I know I've heard that it's some of the greatest like action sequences and computer effects, but for me, it just looks so cluttered to me. Like, couldn't tell who was fighting what, and I don't know. Maybe it's just action movies aren't my thing, and. I trust you, though, because I know a lot of people have gone out and said this is a good movie. So,
Would you say that you enjoy Transformers more than Pacific Rim?
I did.
Wow.
But, you know, I only saw the first Transformers, so that's all I can.
Okay, I thought you meant the Transformer trilogy.
Oh, no, I only saw the first one, so
each
that's all
film
I can say.
Better than the last.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
I wouldn't say that. For my, was it your turn? Number three pick?
My number three pick was actually This Is the End, so it's a repeat. But yeah, for the same reasons, it was just hilarious. I could not stop laughing, and there's moments where I was like laughing so hard I wanted to pee myself. Like, it's just ridiculous how well all those comedians work together. And I found myself like quoting stuff from the movie nonstop after. Mm-hmm. And whenever that happens, it's like I know that I've found a movie that I really truly found like funny, and I'm gonna love for a long time and remember for a long time if I'm like still quoting it months after. So yeah, that's why it's my number three.
Well, good choice, obviously, from in my opinion. My number three is actually Place Behind the Pines, actually. I didn't want to mention it earlier, but it's honestly for the same type of reason. When I saw that movie, I saw it once and I actually liked it. I saw it again because something was bringing me back to the theater to want to visit it again for some reason. And it's one of those epic films. It's lengthy. And you got Ryan Gosling. He made me realize he's a magician.
Yeah,
he is a magician on screen. The charisma that he carries. And when he's gone in the movie, I don't want to give away, but there's sections where he's obviously not going to be in the movie. When he's not on screen, that charisma kind of goes away with him. Mm-hmm. But the movie is really interesting, and it's really, structured in a way that's not typical for a film. I'm not used to that type of structure, and it was refreshing to me. So, think it's actually going to get better and better with each view.
Cool.
And I think Ryan got also Bradley Cooper did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I think everybody did.
Yeah. So,
in my opinion.
That's why Place Beyond the Pines number. Have you seen that movie, by the way, Andrew?
I have yet to see it. Okay. It's on my list.
Well, it just got released on DVD and Blu-ray, so you can go check it out.
I'm going to go
to
Blockbuster now and go.
If you can find one.
There's one by my house.
Okay. All right.
No plug for Blockbuster.
We don't get any money from Blockbuster. They don't have any left. So, Adrian, what is your number two pick?
My next one is The Iceman.
I never saw it. Michael Shannon.
Yeah, Michael Shannon, Chris Evans. It's basically a true story, from about this killer for hire. And it's just really intense. And the performance that Michael Shannon had in this one, I just wish he brought that to Man of Steel.
Oh my God.
Which we won't talk about because it's not, I don't think it's on any of our lists for the top five. But that and then just Chris Evans' performance as well. Not something I was expecting from Captain America. Just a complete immersion of a character. Just all around good performance, good story. It was really, really intense.
Interesting.
Really intense
movie. Yeah, check that out. I'm a big fan of Michael Shannon, so I don't know how I skipped that. All right, Yvette, what's your number two?
My number two is actually Blue Jasmine, because, but for me, it's for different reasons. I know you're, like, a huge Woody Allen. For me, it was mainly acting. Like, I don't know. That performance was, like, I don't know. It's really rare, I feel like, sometimes to see such a exceptional, just eccentric role for a woman to be, you know, like the star and to do so. It was just amazing to me to watch that. And that's a movie that I would definitely rewatch over and over and over again. Not really so much for, you know, everybody else in it or for the story, but for her. She was amazing. And it's just a great character study. And it's a great, like, just as an actor myself, like, it's just something that I really, really liked and enjoyed.
And that's why I was kind of hesitant to put it on my number five, because Woody Allen he's made some fantastic films. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't even mark this among his best films that he's made. I actually think that, Cate Blanchett's performance is just better than even his material.
Yeah.
Like, she's better than material. She brings the material to another level.
Yeah, she is amazing.
So, Cate Blanchett is the reason to watch this movie more than anything, more than Woody Allen. Even.
Yeah, and she's the reason why I would watch it again, just to, like, study her, because she was just amazing to me. It was amazing. It blew me away.
Great. My number two pick is a complete, it is just a place from passion, and I can't expect, it might work for some people, it might not. I'm going with The Spectacular now. Mm-hmm. I absolutely adored that film and related to it 100%. It's from the same director of Smashed, which you really liked a lot last year.
Yeah, that made my top 10 list.
But Spectacular now, I never, it's all based on these two likable leads. They're so good together. They act they're so fantastic.
And great chemistry.
Such great chemistry. And I don't think there's a movie this year that I rooted for more characters. And I never felt like I wanted them to be together so much. Like, my girly side was oozing. Like, I felt...
squealing.
I left the theater feeling full, and I just went on... I loved it. I absolutely adored my film. It's a complete passion pick. Spectacular now. It's going to make my top three in the end of the year. Guaranteed. Adrian...
So,
what is your number one?
My number one, being the nerd that I am, if this was possible, my number one would be Dark Knight Returns Part 2. Animated film, yes. DC Universe movie. It's based off of the seminal Batman comic book, Dark Knight Returns, and basically it's the story that fans of Batman deserve that have not received so far, I think, just in my opinion. But that would be my top pick. However, since it's not theatrical release, I will leave that out. But my number one pick would be The World's End.
The World's End.
Yes, with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost and just the stellar all-star cast. I'm a huge fan of Edgar Wright, and watching the end to that Cornetto trilogy was really satisfying for me. Other than that, I don't want to give too much of it away, but it's been the best movie that I've seen. And I saw it at Comic-Con before it was released in theaters, and they all three of them introduced it. So it was a good time at the movies.
Yeah, I think the movie definitely makes my top 10 so far this year. Mm-hmm. Very funny. Extremely funny.
Just, I mean, you see the action that Edgar Wright brought from his experience with Scott Pilgrim.
Right.
With the comedy that the other two films have had. And it's just that sort of blend together. It wasn't my favorite out of the three.
Yeah, I was going to just say that. That's the only reason why I'm hesitant to put anything higher than my top five.
Yeah, I mean, it's for me, it's always going to be Hot Fuzz.
Me too, actually. Yeah. That's great.
Oh.
Mike high five.
Mike five. But yeah, that number one, World's End.
Great. All right. Yvette, what is your number one?
My number one is actually The East. That is like officially my favorite director. I cannot pronounce his name, but I don't know. Ever since I saw The Sound of My Voice, I was just really impressed with his ability to tackle this subject that is usually done really over the top and cheesy, but he was totally able to do it in a believable way, and I was really impressed, and I loved the acting in it too. So when The East was coming out, I had to see it. I was like, I have to see it. And it honestly, it really did meet my expectations of it. And it really did satisfy me in the way that he's just able to, like, it's my favorite genre too. Like the style that these kind of like mystery type, themes. And so it's something that I enjoy on top of. He does it really well, in my opinion. It never really gets cheesy or too confusing for me, at least. So I love it. I think he's great.
Yeah, so I saw it with you, and I really enjoyed it, too. My number one pick, I think, is going to be no surprise, and it's the third movie of the Before trilogy. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm picking Before Midnight. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to say why this is my favorite movie of the year so far, and I don't even know if it's going to change. I've been following this movie for the as they've been coming out, for the most part, and I've loved watching them growing up, and I'm going to go ahead and say that this movie is the best of the trilogy to me.
Okay.
And it's now when they're older, mm-hmm. they're bickering, they're an actual marriage, and more than watching them ooze over each other and kind of be romantic with each other, it's even more fun to watch them bicker and mm-hmm. argue. And with age, the director, Richard Linklater, has gotten better. And to me, the performances, are amazing. And Ethan Hawke and the other actress, Julie Depley, I believe, mm-hmm. right? They co-wrote this together as well, and
okay.
they're just getting better and better with age.
Yeah,
big fan of the Before Midnight, so that is my pick for the best movie of the year.
Funny that you should mention that. Do you feel that, Yvette, with your picks, do you think you'll find a better movie later on this year?
I think so, because a lot of the movies you guys mentioned, I do want to see. I just haven't seen yet, so okay. I think a lot of my list is going to change definitely.
Okay. What about you? Do you think anything can knock that off the top?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, especially since my number one is actually a comic book cartoon. So that was really straight to video. It's possible.
Okay. Well, fantastic. Well, that was our pick for the top five of the year. Later in the year, we're obviously going to be doing our top five of the year, so we'll see how these rank later on in the year.
Should we do a top
10? Yeah.
Maybe, but that's going to be like an hour and a half.
It's going to be an all-out show.
Part one and part two.
Part one and part two. Well, thank you guys so much for listening, and please give us an email at filmceptionpodcast@yahoo.com. We want to hear from you. We want to hear some of your favorite films, and we want to read your emails on the podcast.
Please.
So please subscribe to us on iTunes, Filmception. All right? Well, this is Ryan Castleman and Yvette Angelo and Adrian Brown.
Yes.
And we'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.